Turn with me to the 48th chapter of the book of Genesis. In this chapter, we have Jacob's life story told from his deathbed. And this is one of the greatest lives of any man of God in the Scripture. And it should be carefully noted, especially on those great principles that he majors on. In this chapter, he's on his deathbed, for his sickness was unto death. In the next chapter, after blessing his sons, he died. Now, from his deathbed, in chapter 48, he tells the story of his spiritual experience with God. And my, what a story it is. Notice he starts off with the mercy of God. And refers us immediately to what started his spiritual progress. Look with me at verse 3. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan. And blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, and will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. All of the things that came before the day that Jacob had his great dream at Luz, which was afterwards called Bethel, all those are forgotten. He doesn't mention the happenings in his home. He doesn't mention his crookedness and his deceit of his father. He doesn't mention that he had to run away to save his skin from the vengeance of Esau. Those are all forgotten. Because it's only when we have our new birth that life really begins. Before that, it's a record of death. It's a record of sin and the expectancy of definite judgment. But on his deathbed, Jacob has been delivered completely from the dark shadow of his first days. He's delivered completely of any memory of the sins that he committed in those past days. Because the Christian life begins when a new life is implanted in the heart by the new birth. So all the record of the past, Jacob pushes them aside. And here in verses 3 and 4, he tells the story of his conversion. Notice his first words upon his lips are the name of God whom he met that night. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty. First word. Up to that time, God Almighty was only head knowledge. Up to that time, God Almighty was the one that Isaac, his father, talked about because he had been born again. And Abraham, his grandfather, talked about, but the Almighty God was a stranger to Jacob. But that night in exile, the first night he ever slept anywhere outside his own tent and outside his father and mother's tent, was here. And that night something happened as he lay with his pillow of stone. Something happened. What happened? He tells us. God Almighty appeared unto me. How are men and women saved? They're saved by the sight of Christ. If you have never seen Christ, if he has never appeared to you, if you have never met him face to face, you're a lost soul. It's only in the revelation of Christ that we can be born again. And you remember the dream which he had. But do notice this name that he called God. He called God a special name. God Almighty. That in the Hebrew text is Shaddai. What does it mean? It means the God of all grace. It means the God who is enough. You cannot take from him. You cannot add to him. God is enough. The only thing a sinner needs is the God who is enough. The only thing that can save the sinner is the Almighty God who is enough. No one else can see him. The revelation must come. And it is interesting to note that this name of God is carried into the New Testament. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 18, we read of God's challenge to separation. And he calls on his people to come out from among them and to be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And then he promises if they do that, he will be El Shaddai, the God who is enough for their soul. This word is always connected in the Hebrew with the word El Shaddai, God Almighty. Its emphasis is not on the creative power of God. Its emphasis is upon the gracious saving power of God. Of course, God is Almighty as the Creator. But there's something greater than creation. What is it? It's a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And the salvation of a soul is more wonderful than the making of the whole world. The salvation of a sinner that deserves eternal death is a greater wonder than any of the wonders of the creation. And that's what he's talking about and his first word upon his lips is a wonderful word of God is enough. He was a great preacher, lived in London many years ago. He was called Rowland Hill. He was quite an eccentric clergyman, but a great preacher of the glorious gospel of Christ. And one day he met a friend of his who was a very wealthy man. And he said to him, he said, I have a minister friend, and he's very poor in this world's substance. It would be nice if you could help me to send something to him to keep his home together and his family together. And that man took £100 from his wallet and he handed it to Hill and he said, Roland, send it to your friend. Don't tell where you got it, but send it to your friend. Now, Roland Hill was not only eccentric, but he was very wise. So he sat down and he took £5 and he put it in the envelope and he wrote across the envelope, more to follow. And he sent it away. The man was delighted with the £5. It was a great benefit to him. But he was more delighted with the promise, more to follow. And in a week's time, Roland Hill took another £5, put it into another envelope, and sent it on with the same words, more to follow. Well, if the recipient was really happy with the first envelope, he was happier with the second. And then in the next fortnight, another of these wonderful envelopes with more to follow. It was C.H. Spurgeon said, commenting on that special incident, he said, that's what Christ does. After you're saved, there's always more to follow. And there's a day coming when every redeemed child of God will be in heaven. But every day, there'll still be more to follow. He leads his dear children along in heaven to new experiences, to new revelations, and to new joys. A new happiness. So Jacob said, God Almighty appeared unto me in the land of Canaan and blessed me. But he appeared unto me at Luz. That was the place that was afterwards called Bethel, the house of God. Jacob had never been in the house of God before. Oh, he had stood at his father's altars and his grandfather's altars. And he had seen the sacrifice. And he had seen the smoke and the flowing of blood. But it was all temporal, material, something you could see and feel. But you see, God is a spirit. We do not see and feel him, but he reveals himself to us. And it was that night in exile, in darkness, that Jacob saw the light and the burden of his heart was taken away. And he realized that he was in the house of God for the first time. He realized that God had spoken to him for the first time. And if you read this story in Genesis, you'll find what a difference it made. The night that Jacob met up with the Lord. There is nothing to write up that's worthy to be remembered about any person who's not born again. The new birth is the first gift that grace bestows. The new birth is the beginning of all beginnings. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No wonder Jacob wrote in to his testimony that the Almighty God Almighty appeared. He saw him. The revelation of Jesus Christ brings about the vital birth into his family. Line up the experience of Jacob with the starting of his new life with God, and then turn to the New Testament and look at Saul of Tarsus. He partook of the very same experience. God met him not in a dream, but in his murderous ride after the saints of God to kill him. And how does Paul speak? Philippians 1:15-16, Paul says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Jacob talks of God appearing unto him. Saul talks the same language that Christ appeared unto him. This is a work of God Almighty. Check as you read the book of Genesis, and you will find how many times Jacob called God, God Almighty. Blessings galore followed the first blessing of the appearing of God to Jacob's soul. The result of the blessing was unstoppable. To Jacob there came an unstoppable flow of blessings. And if you look at it, you will find that Jacob says that God blessed me. Look at verse 3. Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me." When God meets up with the soul, there is always blessing. And there's always more giving. For God said, "I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession." Note the name of the place where he was born again. It was called First Luz, but then it was called Bethel. It's a town about 12 miles north of Jerusalem. It was here that Abraham first encamped when he came. to the land of promise. Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 13. It received the name of Bethel because of its nearness to this place where Jacob dreamed his dream. Bethel was assigned to the Benjaminites, but they appear to have been either unable to take it or careless about doing so. So it was taken by the children of Joseph, Judges 1, 22 and 26. Being very close to the border of Ephraim, we are less surprised to find it in the kingdom of the 10 tribes after the disruption of the kingdom. It seems to have been a place to which the Ark of the Covenant was brought, Judges chapter 20, 26 to 28. It was one of the three places which Samuel selected to hold his courts in, 1 Samuel 7, 16. What a place is this place called Bethel. In 1 Kings 12, 28 and 33, King Josiah removed all traces of idolatry from this place and restored it to the true worship of God. And when the people who were carried captive into Babylon came back from Babylon, they were first to reoccupy Bethel, the house of God. But at the heart of all the blessings of the new birth, there is the fruitfulness of the seed that the saved person sows. And of course, we have the story of the seed here, a very interesting story, because although Manasseh was firstborn, he came to take second place. Just the same way as Jacob, who was second born, took the first place over his elder brother Esau. So we have the workings of God. And when Joseph took his two sons to be blessed by the Father at his request, he put the one son, as you read about it here in this chapter, he stretched out his right hand, verse 14, and laid it upon Ephraim. Didn't leave it upon Manasseh, who was the firstborn. And it says he guided his hands wittingly. He crossed his hands. For the only real blessing that comes to sinners is by the cross. There is no other way to get God's blessing. You'll not get God's blessing under the order of man. You'll get it under the order of God. God's ways are past finding out. But you will notice that when Jacob talks about Joseph's sons, verse 5, notice it. It is Jacob who first of all rearranges them. And he says, "Now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh." He didn't say, "Now thy two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim." It is a second verse. It is the mysterious working of a birth that comes through the cross of Christ that makes a person, once a sinner, a saint forevermore in the sight of God. Look with me at verse 7. I told you Jacob was telling his life story. And one of the saddest things about his life was the way that he was hindered from being married to his dear and loving wife, Rachel. You remember how Laban married him to his firstborn daughter by deceit. You remember that he had to serve for another 7 years for his wife, Rachel. There's no mention of Leah or her family in this chapter. There's only the mention of his first love. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan. But you'll notice that this place where Rachel died is noted as being a little way. Please note the scriptures. She died by me. Rachel was with her beloved husband, Jacob, when she died. He was right beside her. But it was only a little way to come to Ephrah. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrah. The same is Bethlehem. And what was Bethlehem? Bethlehem was the place where Christ was born. Because the new birth only comes because Christ was born into this world. If Christ had never taken our human flesh and our physical makeup, there would be no salvation. But one day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of the Virgin, dwelt among men. My Redeemer is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, we were justified freely forever. But one day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. The place of our new birth is just a little way from Bethlehem, where Christ was born to be the Savior of the world. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. It's through the born child that we come to know Christ. There is an old hymn that runs like this. Oh, for that sweet simplicity that rests alone on Christ. Just like a helpless infancy, it hangs on the mother's breast. A newborn babe no wisdom boasts, but on her still relies, who walking with it in her arms is to the infant eyes. No strength to save itself from foes, and yet it has no fear, but sleeps and rests secure because its mother's arms are there. Yet little in itself it is, yet here it safely lies, that holding in its mother's arms, 'tis just its mother's size. It cares not what shall grow or miss, it neither plows nor sows. Its mother's breast, its fountain is, from thence its succor flows. Nor can it spin nor weave its dress, nor dress itself when done. Its mother all the clothes prepares and puts the clothing on. I'm helpless as a little child, and like it I would rest. Show me, O God, thy parent's heart. give me an infant's rest, nor skill to guide, nor strength, nor size, nor food, nor raiment mine. But if I be a child of God, then all in God is mine. That is the new birth. And here in this chapter, we have that wonderful story. But I must close, for my time is gone. But would you look with me at verse 16? The angel which redeemed me. Abraham, or rather Jacob, knew God the Father. But he also knew Christ, who was the angel of the new covenant. And all through the Old Testament, you'll read about the angel of God. Oh, you'll read about a number of angels, but there is one angel of God. The word angel is messenger, the messenger of God's covenant. That was the person that met the great Jacob in the dream, in that great dream. He met the angel of the Lord. And what does the angel of the Lord do? The angel of the Lord redeemed me. But he did something more than that. He redeemed me from all evil. The Lord doesn't just redeem. He redeems us from all evil. And then Jacob said, let him bless these lads. And God blessed him. And in fact, the whole of the other tribes took their name. And at the end of the story, the 12 tribes are called by the names of the two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea. He rides upon the storm. Could I ask you a personal question this morning? Have you met the angel of the covenant? Have you experienced the new birth? When the day comes for you to say farewell to this old world with all its cares and trials, will you be like Jacob, sitting up on the deathbed and praising God that he was born again, praising God he was redeemed, and praising God he was going to the city of God forevermore? There is a bright, shining, redeemed spirit today at the throne of God. It's the redeemed spirit of Jacob, once the evil supplanter, but by the grace of God and a new birth, made one of the greatest patriarchs in the whole of the Bible. I trust that mercy and grace will be our portion, and we'll all enjoy the sweetness of its experience in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the conversion of Jacob and for the mysteries and wonders unfolded in this chapter. We thank thee today that we too have been born again. And we look back to that day, 29th day of May, 1932, when I came as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, the wonder of it. Oh, the joy of it. Oh, the everlastingness of it. It wasn't for the years of time alone. It was for all eternity. Help me to understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant for Thee, the Holy One, to take away my sin. And may those not yet converted in this house come to know Him, whom to know is life everlasting. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Amen.